mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 439. I'm Adam, and you are the timeless child Doctor. And here's Robert Haynes.
All 13? Oh, wait. Shit. We've made a mistake.
I don't remember that
There's
being in it.
Actually more than 13.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I promise I'll roll out the red carpet. It's red because it's drenched in the blood of people.
And the delectable Mary Lang.
Oh, I'm talking to myself again. That's a good sign.
And after her dinner, we're likely and possibly to have Debbie Melrose. That was a Mebby Delrose then, which is obviously what her real name is. And I did give her the opportunity or the option to come up to the house and sit next to me to do this show because I'm in on my own. I can talk in my normal voice this week. Woohoo! Yes, we have an hour and a half to record this show.
What kind of voice do you talk in?
A slightly less loud voice because they normally... Trying to get
That's
off to sleep
when
I'm doing
week.
The show. Lillian Robbins joined. Hello, Lillian. Right then, let's get on with the episode. We're going to be reviewing this week Timeless Children, and I feel that there's going to be some discussion. So we're going to get straight on with the show. The 1 hour and 6 minute episode of Doctor Who begins with a little recap of previously week, where obviously previous week it ended with... a sort of portal, I suppose you'd call it, into Gallifrey, or just happens to be the part of Gallifrey, being the Gallifrey is a planet, that leads up to the destroyed, what do you call it?
Citadel?
Citadel, that's the word. I was going to say Panopticon.
Yeah, the Panopticon is inside the Citadel.
All right, thank you. Yeah. I'm going to stick with what Robert said.
Isn't that a convention?
Yes, it is. So is Gallifrey. Anyway, so the Doctor goes in.
Pardon? But you just said Gallifrey is a planet.
It's also a convention, Kirby. So the Doctor and the Master go in. I think the Master hold his hand out for the Doctor. Did he sort of like lead her in with his hand? So maybe a little bit of hand gel there for the Doctor, just in case, you know. If indeed you can get any. If not, she can always grab her 15 quotas of toilet roll, just in case. So back on the cyber ship, people are rather superfluous to the story now, are sort of trying to hide from the sort of Cybermen. And one of the remember that Mad Nipper, his girl, the bunny fancy with a hat, gets done in by one of the Cybermen.
Yeah, she's the last of them to die.
Yes. And while that's all happening, the Doctor and the Master arrive in the destroyed... remnants of Gallifrey. Very good bit of special effects there, with bits of cinders still floating around in the air. So not only has it burnt, it's still essentially smouldering. The Master, by the way, I don't know if you've worked out from these scenes, is completely and utterly bonkers, but played rather superbly. He's so mad that I would be scared of him, not because he's of his suave and sophisticativeness, as he's had in the past, just because he's so unpredictable, you just don't know what he's going to do next.
Exactly.
So, of the modern Masters, I like him the best.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out whether he's still suave.
I like him better than Missy. I'm sorry.
I like Missy, but the Doctor tried to turn Missy into something nice, didn't he, by imprisoning her for a long period of time. Anyway, right, so... Meanwhile, Graham is sort of trying to sort of be not so much in charge. He's trying to coach what's left of the group of what do you call these people? Last of the human race. Hey?
Don't say the fam as well.
No, I did not say
the
fam.
No, they're not the fam.
Well, they're kind of refugees,
certainly not
actually.
Fam. Yeah. Well, no, that's what I'm talking about, the refugees. That's the word I was looking for. Yes, Graham's looking after the refugees, while Ryan and the nipper with the curly hair are sort of stomping around with the chap with the white hair and the beard.
With the Obi-Wan Kenobi character.
Yeah, who seems to know a lot. These scenes are a little bit sort of fillerish, really, because the scenes everybody's really interested in are back in the Panopticon, where the Master Just tells.
But you've got to know what happens to them, so you know.
Yes. And the master essentially just does a bit of gloating to the doctor and goes on about the Matrix and
makes comments about the Panopticon
and the fact that the
assassinating presidents.
Yes, that was yes. Yeah, I was quite nice. I like the assassinating presidents comment. That was quite good. Anyway. Then he sort of he sets up a sort of like a holographic video feed with the lone Cyberman, which isn't lone, obviously.
Not anymore.
Basically to tempt him, well, to allow him and his little army to come into Gallifrey. Because obviously he's got a plan, but Cyberman doesn't know this. And nor do we at this point. And... just moving on a little bit. And so again we have a cut back to the refugees being hunted by the Cybermen and Graham and Yaz doing a lot of sitting around having a bit of a chit chat. I think their plan is to try and get in to rescue the Doctor, basically. I think that's what they're trying to think of, a plan to rescue the Doctor. Right, let's see what's coming through on the feed. We've got Lynn Robbins says on time this week. Don't be sarcastic, Lillian. Lauren said, Halo. Is that a song by Beyonce? And Chris Mockridge said, Hello, Adam. Well, hello, Chris. Right then. So back to Doctor Who. I can't believe this. We're 11 minutes and 43 seconds into the story, and Kirby has hardly interrupted me at all. This is incredible. You're right. Are you still there, Kirby? That's the only other explanation.
I can interrupt you more if you want.
No. We're fine, anyway.
What was that ding?
That was, I don't know, let's have a look. Let's check the thing. It is Robert Haynes, I Am Awake. Thanks, Robert. We got that one, cheers.
We needed that.
Thanks.
Sure.
Anyway, the Master sets about sort of teasing the Doctor. He's managed to get her up on this little plinthy bit, and then he gets her imprisoned in this sort of rather pretty
Debbie
little...
Debbie says bring her in.
Rather pretty looking force field. And at that moment, I shall try and bring Debbie in, as you say. I hope she's not got a mouthful, but here she comes. Sorry. Pardon me, I do apologise.
Oh, my goodness.
I had a rather big dinner.
Points deducted for burping.
Okay, I'll deduct myself a point.
Why? What did you do wrong this time?
I hiccuped, and unfortunately the back product of the hiccup was a burp. Sorry about that. Wasn't
belched.
Deliberate. It was never mind. And ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Debbie Melrose.
Joke the rest.
Beg pardon?
I quoted. There you go.
I didn't hear it. What was it?
Show me the rest.
No. Right, Deb, we're sort of 14 minutes and 16 seconds into The Timeless Children. The Doctor has just been imprisoned by some rather splendid-looking neon circles.
Oh, they are pretty good. Mm. Does remind me of a bit about Stargate, you know.
I don't watch Stargate. Although, there was somebody I was going to get Fancy Con who was in Stargate. Chris Fairbrass, but then he was only in one episode. So I decided not to. Right then.
Well, the convention that turned into Hulanta used to be a Timegate. Used to be called Timegate, which was Stargate and Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And so they had a few of the Stargate people. I've never watched it.
Okay, never mind. Anyway, the Master does some sort of close in. In proximity chats with the Doctor, and meanwhile,
that's very effective, actually.
Yes. Meanwhile,
Graham's
plan.
Any scenes that they're real close face to face like that, I think, works really well.
It's very dramatic. Yes. Yeah. Meanwhile, Graham's plan is so to get them out of the proverbial is to basically
proverbial what.
You know, the
trouble.
Yeah, trouble. That's what. Good word, Debbie. Good word. Stop saying hello, Debbie Melrose. By the way, on the feed. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh yes, yes. To scoop out the insides of some Cybermen, so as they can dress up as Cybermen. Good plan.
How do they do that?
When it's all part and parcel of the machine, it's a bit like.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show, and it's acceptable to for them to consider that to be an option. Because it has been done in the past. The Doctor himself has pretended to be a Cyberman in the past.
Remember when they took the James Corden character and stuffed him inside a Cyberman suit?
Yeah, thank you, Kirby.
That's impossible because of his size.
I know.
Maybe it's dimensionally transcendental.
It's a bit like the Sladeen suits.
The Master, meanwhile, gleefully sends the Doctor into the Matrix, which is quite exciting, where he then proceeds to tell her the story of the timeless child.
Is Neo in there?
What?
He's talking about the Matrix.
Yeah, the Matrix.
Neo, I got a funny feeling this Matrix was brought to life for the Matrix you're referring to, Kirby.
I know.
Shut up, then.
He's being pedantic.
Just thinks he's being a clever clogs.
Anyway, the Master proceeds to then tell the Doctor of the story of the timeless shark.
This Matrix came first.
What?
Didn't it? This Matrix.
Yeah, this Matrix.
Yes,
first.
That's what I just blimmin' well said.
He just said that.
Yeah. Right. Anyway,
just making sure.
I'm not going to tell the story of the timeless child again because it's a charming tale, which also incorporates some of the scenes we saw in the previous episode of the Garda and Ireland and Brendan and stuff like that.
Can I ask about this timeless child then?
Briefly.
Does that have two hearts as well?
Seems to.
Well, they don't address that at all.
No, because you know why I say that? Because in a number of Troughton stories, he is medically examined and found to have only one heart.
Yes.
But he can stop one of his hearts.
I know. That's what somebody else said as a reason why I could be examined at this rule. Don't they take x-rays as well?
Possibly. I don't know. I think the problem with that is that, in those days, people weren't so glued into the canon of Doctor Who, and we have to just accept that they can't be 100% consistent with absolutely every detail. But the Doctor,
that's rather silly, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I know. But at the time, whoever decided the Doctor was going to have two hearts in Spearhead from Space probably was unaware that 2 years earlier, the Doctor may have been examined to have one. And didn't
really
know the world of video
really
and YouTube and didn't know the world of video, YouTube repeats, etc., etc., would make the program itself would create this Doctor Who-ness and this pedanticness of the fans. You get the same thing with Star Trek. There's certain aspects of Star Trek that have exactly the same problem. But it's just accepted, isn't it? I think that we just have to accept that.
Yes.
There's inconsistencies in all genres of and most, even Star Wars has inconsistencies.
Really? I hadn't noticed.
But they do try and iron them out as best as they can.
People notice.
Meanwhile,
Master.
God. Yeah, he's on screen at the moment. Funny you should say that, but yes, go on.
this whole story where they're watching the timeless child and the regeneration, everything.
Yes.
I noticed that it's obviously a Chris Chibnall story because there's another falling off of a cliff.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I wonder if Chris has noticed this thing. But now somebody said this episode's called The Timeless Children and said, well, where's the children? Well, the children is the several regenerations of the timeless child itself creating timeless children. Simple. Yes.
I've got a different hypothesis.
Well, we'll do that. We'll talk about that next week. Right then.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the Master summons the Cyberman, Cyber Leader. We'll call him Cyber Leader into a bit of a meeting because he's trying to strike up a bit of a deal. So what he actually wants is that little thing in his heart, which is the that thing that can just...
The death particle.
Yeah. He wants that, but he's trying to talk to a deal. So basically, there's lots of dead Time Lords around the Gallifrey, and he wants to amalgamate the cyber race with the dead Time Lords to create regenerating Cybermen. That's his plan.
Better than robots.
Yeah. Yeah, wait,
yeah, those new Cybermen are beautifully
they
designed.
Are. They I are very, very nice.
I don't like the chins on them.
What?
On the side view. You have to look at the chin. They look rather silly.
Okay.
Okay,
Robert.
Just have a look next time.
Okay. Yeah. We'll try and examine the cyber chins later.
To quote Dr. Frankenfurter, they didn't make it for you.
I did one of the this timeless chill child's regenerations did look very similar, or not similar, familiar. When he became the quite tall teenage Black Nipper. I'm sure he's been in something else. Something very familiar Probably about him. I couldn't work out what or who or why. Anyway.
Do you realize that Tektiun is purposely killing her own child over and over?
Yes.
How cruel.
Yeah, well, there you go. Anyways, we do see a very lovely sort of time-lapse picture of the Citadel and being built. It's beautiful. And some Time Lords and stuff. Anyway, it's basically after the eventual telling of the Timeless Child story, obviously the big thing is that the Master tells the Doctor she indeed is the Timeless Child.
I just want to say something. In that whole story, they just sort of very casually mention and discover time travel.
yeah.
That was my only love. This whole yeah. mix and well, at least, time that thing.
At least they didn't say the Doctor, the Timeless Child herself.
It is a big deal, but yeah, you're right. They just right over.
Yeah, they glossed over it, didn't they? Yeah, but at least they didn't say the Doctor stroke the Timeless Child created time travel. That would have been a bit too much, wouldn't it? Anyway, so eventually
they didn't mention Rassilon or
Omega. Yeah,
or Omega.
Well, not yet, anyway. Doesn't matter, though, does it?
Well, I believe a lot of this...
No, I think all this happened before Rassilon and Omega.
This is going to come together later.
But they had a chance as well in that brief synopsis, because they were drawing you in, you were into it. They could have educated the Quadnuvians just a little bit more as to who...
Well, they could have just dropped in one word when they said created a time travel or whatever like that. Omega. Then,
I don't care if they don't tie all that in, you know.
Nor do
I. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
I do.
Anyway, so meanwhile, Obi-Wan and his little troop of chaps just getting ready.
Can I ask something?
Yes.
Have any of you watched the program Krypton?
No.
Because I'm sure that guy was Superman's great-grandfather.
I couldn't tell you that one because I haven't seen it. So we'll take your word for that. Meanwhile, the Obi-Wan and Ryan and his little friend are hiding from Simon. But of course, we knew it was coming that we're going to get rescued by Graham and his cronies dressed up as Cybermen. We knew it was coming, but it was still really cool.
Yeah.
A really cool scene anyway. So,
oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, the Master... tricks the cyber leader into a corridor and then miniaturizes him, but obviously miniaturizes the which then gets that floaty metally thingamajig, which I can never remember the name of.
He was going to set up the that crystal, so he was looking for his own destruction.
But it's only
moment.
A particle, isn't it? So therefore, it's always going to stay a particle depending on how big its owner is. But yeah, the metally stuff anyway. Then goes into the Master, which is I think what the Master wanted. And
I like his line. You know, you should first buy me dinner.
I say, you know, I use that line whenever I have a colonoscopy.
Oh, Robert.
It just breaks the ice, doesn't it?
So.
Unless you're an endoscopy nurse and you hear it out of every other patient every day. And each one thinks they're being uniquely clever.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Doctor obviously is, once finding out that she was the Timeless Child, is sort of slightly in denial, but then finding it very difficult to refute the evidence that has been given to her, which is all very enthralling. It's not completely unbelievable. But there you go. It's a very nice little story. We then go back to the...
Speaking of Omega, aren't we about to see Omega again?
She's saying, why don't I remember all this stuff? And then the Master, through the Matrix, shows, is it Brendan getting electrolysis stuff? Because there's these band of, what are they, police, I suppose? Not Garda police, but intergalactic time police.
It's the CIA. It's the Celestial Intervention Agency.
Oh, is that what it is?
They renamed them as the Division.
The Division. That's the one. I forgot that name. I've only watched this story once. I wanted to watch it a second time, but the others haven't got round to watching it yet, so I still haven't got a chance. I want to watch it together as a movie, you know, because it's quite...
It bothered me that they decided to call them the Division instead of the CIA, because to me, the CIA is the classic name for them. It's obviously the same group.
Yes. I agree.
So, after obviously coming out of the Matrix, Locke quite stunned that she's... being given this bit of information about the past that she was completely unaware of, the rather beautiful and also slightly absurd time Cybermen lords, time Cyberlords, or what you want to call them, walk into the Panopticon and wearing these sort of very pretty sort of shoulder
things.
Yeah,
exactly.
They are beautiful. I love these.
And also wearing these these sort of like gowns as well, which is quite...
They're absolutely stunning. They're whoever beautiful. Designed those really...
Yeah, was yeah but they're beautiful. They're also slightly funny as well.
Debbie.
What?
On the Doctor Who YouTube channel, they interview the guy.
Cool. I'll have to catch that. I haven't caught up with a lot of things this week, and I'll have to catch that.
Laurie Nick said, "Scoop Slack. Out the innards with a spoon."
Thanks.
Sorry, Laurie. Nobody's listening to you, but I hold you in very high esteem. Right then.
Well, she's referring back to when we say, "How did they get into the suits?"
Yes,
that's what she's replying.
She is indeed. So, like I say, the Cyberlord time thingamajigs walk into the room, looking rather cool, and then they march off for their new leader,
the Master.
Oh, right. So, and then this is the point where Yaz decides she's going to go into the little portal thing with the rest of them to try and rescue the Doctor. They go in. The Doctor, meanwhile, starts rather groggily meeting, is it Joe Martin's Doctor? And having a conversation with her as to what the hell going on.
What was going on?
Yeah, I think she's the Doctor, but she's sort of been rather chameleon-arched.
I love the fact that in an interview she said she's channeling Peter Capaldi's Doctor, because it is just stunning the way she portrays
who's
the Doctor.
Channeling?
I love her Doctor,
I love her.
Who
too.
Is,
I would love to see more of her.
Who's channeling? Hang on, whoa, who's channeling Peter Capaldi?
Joe Martin, okay. Doctor. She said in an interview he inspired her characterization of the Doctor.
I've got an idea of what's going to be happening in the future, but we'll discuss that later.
Is there a future, Kirby, apart from the
Come
Christmas
on, Kirby.
Special?
Come on.
Is there a future?
Bill.
Because apparently the papers are saying that dismal ratings for Doctor Who, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, come on. every few years it's like, I'm never going to watch Doctor Who again. And they do. I'm never going to watch Doctor Who again.
I think the only real fan, only proper real fans of the show continue watching it through this sort of stuff.
Doctor Who doesn't have the same appeal to me as it did during the first few years. But up until...
Smith halfway, about halfway through.
Well, same here to a degree, but I still love it. Still love watching. Yeah. It's not as good as it used to be, but it's still.
I can go back and watch some of those watch Eccleston's and Tennant's and just absolutely over and over and over again. Whereas I really don't go back to late Smith and Capaldi.
Same here.
Oh, I agree, but there are still amongst those some absolute banging stories, which are worth rewatching. For example, Time of the Doctor, which is a beautiful production. Earlier on
that
this
Night of the Doctor. Did you like Night of the Doctor?
Is that the one with McGann?
And of course. Day of the Doctor, I will watch.
Yeah, an
instant.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah. Day of the Doctor. I meant not. I said Night of the Doctor. No, I get confused with these of the Doctors.
Said Time of the Doctor.
All right, I meant Day of the Doctor. Thank you, Kirby.
Mid morning of the Doctor today. Yeah.
Well? very early in the morning of the Doctor, Robert.
It's just the lunch break.
Who knocked their microphone? Who's knocking their microphone? There's going to be points deducted. Right, that's it. Who's knocking their microphone?
Who did that?
Yeah, who's doing that? I think that's Adam, actually.
How could it be me? My microphone's over there.
Kirby.
No, I am not.
It's like having Andy back on the show. Stop it.
Is that Kirby?
That is Kirby.
No, it can't be me.
And why can't it be you?
I can take a picture and show you.
No dick pics on this show. Anyway, run them back to Doctor Who.
Spare us.
I am
a yard away from my microphone.
If we can hear it, then somebody else is doing it.
Anyway,
yes.
So who's dialed in that we don't know about?
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that one.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. If we can all hear it, that's something else.
What way to find out is on Skype, when the person who's making the noise, their little logo comes up.
Yeah.
Well, Kirby's did for that bit, but I think he was talking at the same time.
Anyway, okay. Shut up! I've only got till half past blimmin' 8. Right then, back to the episode.
Why?
Because she who must be obeyed will be requiring being picked up from
Apollo
Theatre in
that's
Newport.
That's why I was allowed to come round tonight. Ooh,
yes, a one and only chance. Right then. So, then we see... the Doctor basically gets a sort of a bit of a mind fry in which she sees lots of little snippets and clips from previous episodes of Doctor Who, including the very important one, Brain of Morbius, where we see lots of faces, which was obviously the Doctor saw, we saw, the Doctor didn't see, blah, 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 during that battle with Morbius. And then she wakes up.
So that man?
That master?
That master, what master?
No, you master. I have been looking for someone to break that entire scene down, shot by shot, and it's been a week and no one has.
Do we really have to do that? I told you I've got to finish our past date.
Kirby, I thought somebody did that on Facebook.
It's very
I thought cool. I might have shared it, but I might not have then. Sorry.
Well, if you find it...
I'll have another troll for it. Yeah, I'll have a look.
Right, there's a few... She remembers herself and Captain Jack and Joe Martin's Doctor and that weird... creature that got imprisoned at the end of one of the previous episodes.
Wilf's in there. Wilf's in there.
Wilf's in there. But the guy who was a child and invented the Absorbiloff.
Yeah.
You know, he has his own YouTube channel where he discusses Doctor Who.
Right.
And he was ecstatic that they included the Absorbiloff in that whole flashback sequence.
Well, that's good, Dan. I'm sure. I'm not surprised. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. The Doctor wakes up, sort of, in on this little panopticon stage, I suppose you call it. And then Yaz sort of makes sure she's all right by feeding her pulse, and she gets out. It's a bit groggy, and essentially she's been rescued by all these people, like they said they were going to do, which is very nice of them. And then she does a typical sort of weird sort of commentary on the various sort of things that's happening, and the chap with the white beard, Obi-Wan, he's plotting with the rest of the sort of people that aren't going to be in Doctor Who anymore. Then the doctor finds a little miniaturized Cyberman, and then the master turns up and gets a bit or does she just see the master in her mind? I can't remember now.
I think it's the mind in this bit.
Yeah, and
They're doing the whole communicate.
Yeah,
with telepathy.
And then the cyber ship is blown to smithereens, but it's just before it gets blown to smithereens, the Doctor finds a time capsule that the others can they all can get into to a certain degree. Because she's going to blow up the panopticon.
Now we know what a default TARDIS looks like inside.
Yeah, thank you for that. So she tells them she set the TARDIS, sorry, time capsule to Earth to get them safely away while she goes in to go, and she's going to blow up the the Panopticon with all the Cybermen in it to save everybody. So she goes in. That's basically what she does. I know there is a sort of a standoff between the Master and the Doctor in the scene.
And she does exactly what Eccleston did in his last episode.
Yeah.
She chickens out.
She chickens out indeed, but the idea is she was going to sacrifice herself in this scene as well, but she doesn't. She and that's right, that brilliant scene where she's got a finger on the button and the Master goads her into doing it.
Mm, yeah, that is a good scene.
This is why Obi-Wan was there all along, and he comes down and tells, get the hell out of here, Doctor, I'm going to do this. Yeah, lose the force. Now, I thought all the way through this that the older bloke was actually Captain Jack, prior face of Bo, because I was waiting for Captain Jack to be in it.
I thought he was Rassilon for a long time.
Yeah, no.
I really was going with, this is actually Rassilon, being good, saving everything. And, I did feel that was possibly where Chibnall just sort of started going and then stepped away from.
Yeah, it was all right.
It did feel like you were sort of being led
They made the character fit into the story. That's fine. I was just slightly disappointed. It wasn't someone a bit more someone we knew for a bit longer.
I thought it was going to be someone along the lines of Rassilon or something. You know, just here to just, this is it. This is what we've been building up to. We need to stop.
But mind
this.
You, it could be Obi-Wan.
Yeah, that's true.
Going to Tatooine.
Because I always thought that Captain Jack was going to be in this story, and I thought that's how it's going to go.
I reckon
Captain Jack's going to run around from a corridor and press the button, bearing in mind he's not going to die. And the Doctor just
going to...
Anyway, so next scene is a house materialising, which is absolutely superb, and they will step out of it. This reminded my child. When I was a child, my childhood, because when I was a child, I imagined that our house was a spaceship, so I used to draw these little ideas of spaceships that looked like houses, and it reminded me of that. So it was really quite cool.
Did you
neighbors,
that was an empty lot yesterday.
Nobody noticed that. Yeah, that was funny. No, that's fine. I didn't bother.
Very quick construction.
The Doctor, meanwhile, finds another time capsule just in the nick of time and materialises it right next to her own TARDIS. It's a tree now, so nobody will find it, will they? As she's got in the TARDIS, you think, oh, she's going to get away now, and it doesn't look like her companions are going to be with her anymore, a Jadoon turns up and bangs her into a prison cell, which very much looks like Shada.
Bangs her?
Yes. I am certain it is Shada.
And that is the end of the story. Oh, God. I haven't actually looked at much reviews about this particular finale, because I don't want my own opinion of it tainted. I've just had little sort of hints from people, but I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it much more than the previous episode. I feel that maybe the previous episode wasn't overly necessary. I think they could have probably fitted most of this into a slightly longer version of this one, just take out some of the...
episode was just a setup for this one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I didn't think we needed it, but I mean, it was okay. I think it's nice to watch it.
You should watch it all in one go.
Oh, well, no, I plan to do that.
And it did introduce Brendan.
It did, eh? Brendan? Who is Brendan, anyway?
He was at... Irish.
I know, but who is he? I was confused.
Well, that's it. That's a mystery that I think is going to be.
No, it was
a memory of the Doctor. It's the Doctor.
How can it be the Doctor?
The
reason why that Debbie
became the Doctor.
Debbie,
Master, I can explain.
Go on.
It's the Matrix, because of the missing pieces in the Matrix,
which I like.
That is how the Doctor's memories were putting together. Her own time before she was, before she remembers being a child.
The only problem I have with it,
basically the child of being the first Doctor, the Hartnell Doctor, and spending her childhood with the Master.
Yeah, but the only problem,
it's just an amalgamation of all of the stuff with the Timeless Child and. Falling off the cliff.
No, I understand that. The only problem I had with it is when, I know it would have given the game away to a certain degree, but when he falls off the cliff, when that villain attacks him, he just gets up. He doesn't regenerate, or can he fall off cliffs without regenerating? I don't understand.
It's because it's put it together as kind of a human story.
All right.
Story or something.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay, fine. That's a Matrix thing.
He was getting in practice for falling off a radio antenna.
Ah, good one. Yes. Anyway, back to my thoughts on the story. I actually really, really enjoyed this as a story. I liked the idea of the Doctor being the timeless child, although I thought the Doctor was anyway, but not quite in the way that it was brought into it.
Well, I disagree that the Doctor is the timeless child.
No, I liked, I'm not saying I agree with it being, but I liked that. And I also liked the fact that there was these empty bits in the Matrix, which is basically still shrouding a lot of the Doctor's life in mystery, so the doctor can still be
mystery.
Doctor Who, because there's obviously we don't know exactly when the Doctor became the Doctor, because obviously a lot of these things we're seeing, the Doctor wasn't the Doctor. The Doctor was just a weird sort of person they were experimenting on, basically.
Actually, you know what it reminds me of, though, with Andrew Cartman when he was his master plan,
right?
Trying to bring the Doctor being more mysterious, and it sort of reminds me of that sort of type of world building.
Maybe so. But anyway, I haven't got any problem with what they've done with the, obviously, these hundreds of regenerations of a character that wasn't the Doctor. It was just that person before they became the Doctor, because we're only really interested in the character when it becomes the Doctor. So I've got no problems with that, because, like I say, in Brain of Morbius, we saw all those faces, and at least it makes sense of those faces we saw
now.
So not a problem with that. Also, there's so many things you can explain away with this, including something came to mind and I thought I could explain away with it. Blast. Never mind, Karen. If I remember it again, I'll tell you. But it fills in a few gaps that can create explanations for things.
But there's more gaps that have been created. What about Clara?
Which creates Doctor Who. About what?
Yeah.
Clara, who should be in all the Doctors.
All the Doctors' timeline. Not the before they became the Doctor, when they were another person.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. The Doctor became the Doctor probably just before, probably around the Joe Martin time. I don't know. Either way, there's also obviously they explained away the memory wipe, and there was also somebody said, oh yes, but the Doctor was half human. Well, that's explained away by the Chameleon Arch. There's so many things that you can use this sort of thing to explain away certain aspects or inconsistencies in what people have wrote about the Doctor in the past. But as a story itself, I really enjoyed it. I found it really engaging and beautiful. And well acted. I loved Jodie's Doctor in this story, and it was just all round fab. I'm sure there's going to be very opposing views after that.
I just
love Doctor Who. Pardon?
This does explain the McGann Doctor saying half human on his mother's side. Yeah. Because his mother was his adoptive mother, who was Sheboygan.
Yeah, there's that as well. But the other big thing is that the Doctor has used the Chameleon Arch at least twice in her lifetime, which would obviously have an impact on they've lived a human life for a period of time because of the Chameleon Arch. Obviously before the Master used it. Yes? Because the Master used it first when it became the War Master, after the War Master, or whatever. Anyway, so, right, I think we should ask Robert, what did you think?
I quite liked it. I still have a bit of problems with Jodie's portrayal, and that's main. I love it when she's serious, but when she does the stupid, Smith used to do, Matt Smith, when he was joking around, that kind of thing, and I don't feel like that doesn't suit Jodie. She's more along the serious lines, and I just hate it when she does her stupid prattling on. But apart from that, she's much better when she does the serious stuff.
Okay.
And I did like the revelations.
What, of the Daleks? Oh, no, it's a different thing. Huh? Of the Daleks, you said revelations.
I like that one too. I did like that, actually. And as I said, didn't like the Cybermen chins, but I liked the
the Cyber chins.
I did like the retro look of the faces. That was very good.
Oh, they're brilliant.
But I do get a bit sick of them marching in line and all their.
They're supposed to be like the in Third Reich, aren't they? They've always been supposed to be like that.
Okay. It's like we can't sneak up on anybody anymore because we make such so much bloody noise.
No, that's either the engine, Deb.
Well, remember in the next Doctor when that was addressed.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember. Let's watch it again. I quite like that one out of the specials. But, yeah, I am interested to see where it goes from here. It'll be very interesting.
It goes to Christmas.
Can I ask something? Is it true that we're going to get another year's break before...
Well, no idea. We're going to get an episode around Christmas time. I know that.
Yeah, we'll get
there's rumors out there.
We won't see any more until fall of next year.
Yeah, they're talking about getting it, doing what they did before and finishing with the Christmas episode, which they did for a few of the Tennant stories, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I've heard like three different scenarios, so I don't know what's going on.
They'll keep us guessing until they go.
I've heard from the BBC that the Doctor Who will return at Christmas, and they've obviously given us the title of the story.
Yeah, I know that one. The
I reckon there's going to be Daleks in it.
There is.
Yeah, I've also seen the rumor that that one's going to pop up a lot earlier than
that's
Christmas.
What she said.
I want a new villain, please. A new villain. Not a reduxed villain, a new villain.
Yeah, but every time the Master regenerates, he's a new villain.
I know. Well, you know what I mean.
Deb, there were complaints for a while that we were not getting any of the classic films. People wanted to see them.
A good mixture of old and new. Make the old ones scary, like they've done this time.
Well, it's like this new series has been the villains have turned out to be us every time. You know, it's like new monster, it's us.
Are you done, Robert?
At least with the villains, though, they could make them something worthwhile. I mean, you look at all the forgettable ones they had last year.
I want to see Tim Shaw again. I've got him behind me, actually, funny you should say. There he is.
God.
The Funko Pop of Tim Shaw.
Boffett to come back and write an episode.
Robert?
Interesting.
Have you done, Robert? I've got 50 minutes left of the show.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, all right, then. So, the Mebby Delrose is now going to tell us what she thought of it.
Mebby Delrose, lovely. Yeah, no, I liked this one. I liked it a lot, but I do feel we could have had a bit more time in The Matrix. I thought I really liked being in The Matrix. I love Joe Martin.
I can send you the DVD.
It's not compatible. They're on they've got a different region than you.
Tell her. Shut up.
I can send the Blu-ray. That's region B.
Shut up. Debbie, it all.
Yeah, sorry. I love the look of the timeless Cybermen, as Ina called them. And I thought. Yeah, the Master is just fantastic. I know he's a bit of a Marmite Master. People love him or hate him. I think he's brilliant. He's made it his own. He's brought madness to
madness,
it.
Madness.
He's brought the sadness as well.
Sadness. They call it sadness.
Madness and sadness. He was such a
angriness.
Two flips of the coin. You know, he was just fantastic.
He's bonkers.
Completely bonkers, absolutely marvellous, thought he was fantastic. The comedy in this was actually really quite a good relief because of the stresses of being in the Matrix and trying to walk out. You're busy going, what? And then you've got Graham not being able to get out of his cyber suit, you know, that sort of thing. That was just really good. I don't like him being used for comic relief, but I felt it actually worked in this episode. And the bit when the house materialised, I thought that was just fantastic use of the TARDIS.
TARDIS.
When they just walk out this detached house, just
a TARDIS, not the TARDIS.
Yeah, you know what I mean. It's
tell him off, Deb.
Outfit. But no, I liked it. I liked it as an episode, but I'm now going to go back and watch both of them together because if I can watch them both, that wasn't me. If I can watch both one after the other, I think I'll chase it more.
I'd like to do that too.
Yeah,
that's what we're going to do.
The music in this as well was brilliantly used. I really enjoyed.
He's such a good composer, though, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. It really does just amplify what's going on. And again, as I've said all the way through, Jo Martin, fantastic. I want to see more of her.
Oh,
marvellous. Yeah. Thank you, Debbie. And Kirby. Kirby, what did you think of this Doctor Who episode?
I absolutely loved it.
Oh, good bloody hell.
Loved it. As you guys figured out last week when we were recording, I didn't give you any spoilers whatsoever, but I followed the story on Twitter as it was going on just
yeah, we didn't spoil anything, Kirby.
Excuse me, don't you understand how the comedy backdrop of this podcast works?
Yes.
You
yes,
obviously don't. 439 episodes in. I give up.
The interesting thing about watching it, basically watching it on Twitter without seeing any visuals or anything, was I got a lot of it.
How did you watch it on Twitter with no visuals?
Live commentary.
Yeah, it was basically live commentary from people all over the world.
Then I was more watching sense. Live. This is why Matthew disappeared, because he thought we were going to do spoilers, but we were being
But it was the stuff that I got. I mean, I got things like, the Doctor's the Timeless Child, et cetera, et cetera. But then when I actually got around after we recorded last week and saw it, watching, unquote, on Twitter left out so many details.
Well, we didn't spoil it.
I really loved it a lot more, but I kind of liked knowing ahead of time a lot of the stuff.
Do you?
But
you like being spoiled, what's
it like
then?
What's it like all season? What was it like? We're not telling. What was it like?
So you like to think, Kirby?
Spoilers.
That's just the way that I am.
Are you?
Doctor Who spoilers channel.
No. Anyway.
Yeah.
You want my hypothesis?
Well, get on with it.
Okay.
The Doctor is not a lone timeless child.
All right.
They both are.
Are they?
Master is also...
That goes back to the Planet of Fire brothers thing.
Brothers thing. Not just the brothers thing, but also the fact that the Master was at his 12th... theoretically 12th regeneration back in Deadly Assassin. And... always comes back with no explanation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Are you saying that all those missing bits of the Matrix are the Master's bits?
Yes.
Ah.
Do you really think Chibnall will think like that, though?
Yes. Yeah.
I think you're full of nonsense. I don't think he's.
I don't think he's up to that.
Yeah.
Oh, We'll see.
What gets me right now? The timeless child was found at this gate, so therefore there must be a race of these people that can regenerate and regenerate and regenerate.
Yeah,
so that might be something worth exploring.
I think that the one that we were seeing the visions of,
yes,
what was the Master and not the Doctor?
What?
Okay. That sounds good.
So how do we explain the Doctor's ability to regenerate and regenerate and regenerate them?
Another
of those people?
Another of those people. Okay. Well, we'll stop there, shall we? Are you done, Kirby?
I don't think they're going to address it ever again.
Probably not. While Chibnall's still around, I expect they may address it once again.
I think we're going to get into more things. First of all, we've got the Division is still... out there, because we have the unfinished story that the Division is obviously tied up in because of the Jadoon coming, and for some reason the Doctor is now imprisoned in Shada, which I love.
They did not mention
that was Shada, but it was obviously Shada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although how the Jadoon were able to materialize inside the TARDIS,
because they got license.
That's iffy.
That's what they said. They materialized.
Anyway, yes. I absolutely loved it. I love the way things are going. I'm sorry, even though Graham was a great companion, it sounds like we're going to end up with fewer companions.
Yeah.
Well,
they're all leaving. I've heard that Graham's last one will be the Christmas special. That's what they've said.
Well, you know what I would love to see is the Joe Martin Doctor is going to be in the next series more. I think we might end up with two Doctors stories. Several.
Maybe we're going to have a paradox next season.
Well, yeah, they might. Yes. No, what I disappointed me, obviously, that we had John Barrowman for about 2 minutes and that amazing thingy of the Jadoon, whatever it was called. I want to see him back to meet the 13th Doctor. Yeah, we didn't get that opportunity.
I'm sure that will happen. Anyway.
I think that one quick appearance was just for the flash fun of it, and I don't think we'll see it.
That
appearance was also to distract from the real surprise of that episode.
Okay. Yes, that was very good, wasn't it?
Okay, I'm done.
Hooray! It's Mary's turn.
Well, I think we have to take the two episodes together, because last week I really didn't have an opinion about the first one, because I felt like all it was a setup, and kind of a boring setup at that. But taking the two together, I enjoyed them. I thought they were good, because I do like arc stories. I like things that lead one into another, you know, what set up a surprise that you get the next time and so on, and laying out more mysteries. I mean, this thing is full of stuff for them to feed on for the next season. So for that reason, that's why I liked the Jadoon story so much, because it set up so many mysteries I hoped, you know, would come, you know, would be taken a little farther along. And so for those reasons, because I do like an arc story and all that, I really enjoyed this.
My God.
Lot to chew on for next season. Hopefully they'll do it. some observations. I just wonder why all through the last episode, and then he says it again in this episode, the master keeps telling the doctor that she's going to be hurt when she gets the truth. And I don't know, how is being the timeless child something that would hurt you? I would think that would give you, you know, more reason to do what you're doing and all that. I'd love to hear that.
It means that she can't remember most of her past.
Yeah, he was the one that was hurt and angry, but I don't know why he thinks she would be.
Yeah, exactly. No, he lumped her in with that, didn't he? And it's like, no.
Yeah, he did. He kept setting that up. Also, in that conversation between Graham and Yaz, he's really building her up. And so I wondered, okay, is this what's hinting that, you know, she's going to be the only companion left next year? So, you know, we, the audience, have to think more of her than we have so far, because Graham, we know he's leaving. And so he really hasn't been in this season very much like he was last season.
I agree.
So I think the conversation was particularly written and put in there to build Yaz up so that we'll accept her better.
do we?
and what I like is that they set up some mysteries for the future. I think we are going to hear more about Brandon. Because why would the father and the police chief also not age? I mean, I think there's a story there that they're setting up that we're going to hear more about. And like Kirby said, I like the introduction of the division. They kind of the memories stop, you know, before we really hear much about the division. And the division also plays into the Brandon story. I think this is a great setup for some more stuff next season. Through, you know, when she does her little mind blow thing of all her memories, I did go through it slow motion to see, okay, exactly what are they recalling in here? And I noticed that except for Jack Harkness, not a single other companion appears in that I could see. So if there were companions mentioned through there that I missed, I'd be surprised. And there's
no River Song either.
No other masters were in there except for Roger Delgado. So I don't know why they decided to skip all companions and all. I mean, you know, the current master was in there, of course, but Roger Delgado's was the only other master I saw.
Yes. Yeah, it is the only one on there.
Yeah. And one other thing is, I was seeing comments on Facebook about people want to say that Hartnell was really the first doctor.
No.
The first one who calls himself the doctor.
No.
And so, okay, I can accept that, except where does Ruth fit in? Because she calls herself the doctor, and her TARDIS is the same.
We don't know about her yet. We're just assuming where does she fit in with things.
Because, I mean, I can accept that she was the doctor before the Hartnell's doctor, but the fact that she calls herself the doctor and she has the same TARDIS makes me think she fits somewhere between Hartnell and Jodie. So,
people have suggested that she comes between Troughton and Pertwee.
Season 6B.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6B, that's where she is.
Yeah, that'd be cool if it was, if they sort of...
After 6B, before Pertwee falls out of the TARDIS.
Well, bear in mind how many regenerations the Doctor therefore should have had some sort of chameleon arch in between the two, so that's why the Doctor can't remember being the Joe Martin doctor. Anyway, that's a lot of conjecture.
More to chew on.
Yes. Which is what Doctor Who's about at the end of the day. We want these things where we could start trying to come up with ideas of why things are.
Makes
what
it
they
interesting.
Are.
It though, does.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Right then. Are you done, Mary?
Yeah, I'm done.
Right then, let's move on to some feedback. Start with this one. It goes a bit like this.
Hello, 20 Moon Web Podcast. This is Ian Kirk, bumping elbows with you.
Captain.
The Timeless Children by Chris Chibnall. If the Ruth Doctor was from before Hartnell, why is her TARDIS also a police box? A race of zombie Cybermen Time Lords. Seems silly to me. We have a long time to wait for this to be resolved. Ooh. Chibnall seems to have messed about with continuity just to be mischievous. Hashtag bring back Moffat. It will give Brink Finish something to play with, though.
Yes.
Gallifrey, the Sheboygan year. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. I do agree with a bit slightly disappointed they have to keep on destroying Gallifrey. Wasn't there a thing that they keep killing Susie? That was some torture, yeah, wasn't it?
I didn't have any issues at all with continuity.
No, nor did I. But I just ashamed that they keep on having to destroy Gallifrey all the bloody time.
it'll be back.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. It will, sorry. Right
and
then.
Front and sides.
Kirby, did you post a request for feedback on the...
Of course I did.
Therefore, could you please impart said feedback?
Okay. Aaron says potential spoilers or at least hints for the episode may be found in this feedback. Okay, he didn't have to say that. once again, it felt... quite slow pace. The reveal of the Timeless Child did not have very much oomph for me. Seemed much more anticlimactic on first viewing. It works better as a rewatch, and the story presented is quite interesting. And that's true. It does do good for a second watch.
Yeah, a rewatch is definitely better. Yeah.
I can definitely see why this one is controversial, though. My only thoughts are that Chibnall might be trying to explore this as a pre-doctor lens, as that still would make William Hartnell the first doctor. Do we know how old the Doctor is when we first meet him? It's the only way I can see this making sense, unless it turns out that the Master is indeed lying to the Doctor all along, and there's a huge, long game afoot. Also wonder what the situation with the Doctor and the Jadoon is. And okay, that's the end of his feedback, but yeah, that's what I think, is that the Master's still lying.
Can I just say something also?
Yeah.
In the case of Aaron watching it, would it be a listen, not a watch?
Yeah.
Well, you can watch it with
audio feedback. Secondary soundtrack.
Yes, as a secondary. Yeah. Secondary soundtrack is a great way of saying it. It's a description track. Superb. Audio description, the BBC call it. It's very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so Robert Wentz Jr., probably 400 to 500 years, because wasn't Patrick the second doctor reading a 500-year diary? Also, wasn't Tom Baker the fourth doctor around 1,000? No, 750, wasn't he?
Yeah, and how long did Peter Capaldi's take to beat through that wall?
Right.
Yeah. Conveniently forget most of the time.
Yeah. And now for wonderful, wonderful Jeff Waddle. Hartnell's still the first doctor. They've
hold on. You've got to read it. Hartnell is still the first doctor.
Yeah. They've said repeatedly that the title Doctor is just a name he took. People aren't born into this world and are called Doctor 25 years before they qualify as one, are they?
No,
they have names. The whole Timeless Children thing makes complete sense to me.
Thank you.
I'm amazed that people not accepting this are the same ones more than happy to accept the War Doctor that made no sense, and Bloody Clara saving the Doctor at every point in time. And hiding under his bed.
God.
I've seriously had a gut full of self-entitled fans bleeding on about what's right and wrong. You either watch it or not.
Yeah.
Complaining to the BBC because they didn't like what the showrunner did. Nah, I'm out of this fandom completely. For the record, I love this episode. Yeah. I love last week's episode. I love the weeks before this episode. I love Spyfall and the Jadoon stories. So averaged out.
Stores?
Stop it. Robert! Yeah.
He's written stores.
I know he has. That's mean. Stop it.
So this has been easily my favourite season since the show came back.
Anyway, he's maybe that's how they spell stories in Scotland. I don't know.
Also, I have to say this. Series. Mary, did you want to read yours there?
Yeah.
Well, I said, hear, hear on the War Doctor and Clara nonsense. No. This has not been my favorite season, but it has presented us with some interesting ideas to chew on.
Yes.
I give no credit for that.
Yes, me too. I agree.
Okay.
Well, there was some absolutely terrible stories, just to point out, but some bloody good ones as well.
Wait, hold on a sec.
Yes?
What?
Yes.
Well, that's what Aaron says. Come on, read it.
Oh, do you want to read it? Go ahead, read it.
Wait, hold on a sec. Mary, as a blind person, I'm wondering something. Were you the one in last week's 20 megabyte episode with, I think it's, and correct me if I'm wrong here, American accent? I don't know if it's American or Canadian, because if so, I really liked your voice.
Yeah, it's got a lovely voice.
Don't worry, not in a crush sort of way, if you get what I mean.
I've got
it's more on the lines of, I thought your voice sounded really cool.
Because it is.
It has a great quality to it. You can read audio, Mary.
Yes.
I can't think who it is reminds me of, though, but long story short is the following. I remember listening to it, thinking, wow, yes, I like this person's voice.
Oh, I'm blushing.
Just so the others aren't getting left out in case this feedback ends up getting read on the show for a laugh. Kirby reminds me of Spider-Man.
He is Spider-Man, yes.
A bunch of incarnations of that character mixed in. For reference, listen to a ride through of the Spider-Man ride at Islands of Adventure.
Kirby Man.
Okay, that's odd. Adam reminds me of a cosplay friend from Peterborough. A guy called Simon helps with the running of the Feel the Force Day event. Gutted there's no Feel the Force Day this year, but Fantasy is the same month. So there's something to count down to. I'm seriously excited about it.
Yay!
It's my birthday in June, and I'm going to ask my parents to get some tickets, as I don't know what else I'd like for my birthday this year yet. Oh, it sounds like
I love meeting Aaron for the first. I met Aaron for the first time, the first Island Con. He was lovely. We were in the foyer that time with the 20 megabyte table, and I was trying desperately to stop the Dalek falling off the table. And Bumblebee turned up, so he was investigating Bumblebee. It was lovely to meet him.
Cool. Well, he says something nice about you. He says, Debbie kind of reminds me of Sarah Jane Smith without the accent. Or in voice pitch terms, some sort of character from the fairly well-known program Better Dog. All those characters sound similar. I hope I haven't offended anyone. Wanted to make sure no one missed out. And I'm hoping this comment can be taken good taste that there's a laugh.
It is.
Yes, it sure is.
Sure is.
My main question was for Mary, though, and I'll check replies in this thread and, of course, listen to the feedback tonight.
Excellent.
Oh, okay, Aaron, just so that you know, I am American.
Are
in
you?
Fact, I'm from the Midwest, which
people who
don't like this flyover country, but yeah, I'm from Ohio. If you get your hands on a map, you'll see that I live in the middle of America.
Yes, thank you. And
by
the way, Mary,
voice on the internet.
You've got to say, Mary, I've got to point out that when you used to, obviously, quite a few years ago now, you used to send in audio feedback for the show with your musical backdrops, which thankfully that was the only bad thing about those. You did it in GarageBand, didn't you? It had like an echo. Like you were in another room, this sort of big, almost like a theatre, this sort of with the little musical backdrop. But once I heard your voice, I knew that if I had an opportunity of getting you on the show, I was going to do it. And thankfully, that worked out.
Well, thank you.
Right then. Oh, go on. Laurie Nix said something.
Yeah.
Also, I just posted a video of the Spider-Man ride.
Cheers. Nice one, Kirby.
Okay. Laurie says, initial reaction, tee-hee, gatekeepers and old fanboys going to plots hard. Hand me the popcorn. Next reaction, there's a lot to unpack here. I need to rewatch both the first part and this finale to figure out how I feel about the canon cannibalizing. After third watch, I really don't know if I like it or not. Yes, it was definitely not boring. great performances and all, but was the canon blow-up really necessary? Or was it, or is it all more desperate New Who hype?
To me,
the Doctor's already a superhero. Why gild the lily unless one is feeling insecure? As in all things Who, I accept it, but I'm intrigued about how this will affect stories in the future. The Big Finish folks must be dancing on tables.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true.
I can't wait for the Adventures of the Morbius Doctors to come out.
He knows Big Finish well, obviously.
Yeah.
At the same time, I can't help but wonder if this is not all some master showrunner long con. As we've learned, retcons can be retconned, especially when a new showrunner takes over. And considering it is the master doing all the convincing storytelling, possibly brainwashing, I guess I'm still unpacking something that we'll all be doing for quite some time regarding the season ender. On a separate note, what does Chibs have against parents?
Oh, I don't know. But I will say, why would what would the Master gain from creating this story for the Doctor? It's quite a nice story. The Master's horrible. So this is the only thing I have about the Master's alleged lying to the Doctor. It's, if he was so like telling the Doctor, in fact, what the Doctor was evil and used to kill people, then I accept that would be a good lie to tell the Doctor, to upset the Doctor and you know, put the Doctor's mind on, you know, some sort of, you know, explosive sort of
was actually just reaffirming who she is, basically.
So it wasn't exactly anything that would really upset her. So anyway, the only thing, but
no, I think the only thing with that is that imagine if you go along thinking, oh, you're Adam Pearson, you were born in 1960, blah, blah, blah.
Thank you for
and,
that yes.
You know, you're a certain year old, you grew up with your certain parents, but then someone came along and says, you're not Adam Pearson whatsoever.
Well, I'm
you
not.
You were actually born in 1901.
Well, I can't. Shut
know what I mean?
Up. No, no, well, I found out recently I'm not actually Adam Pearson. I'm actually, due to ancestry DNA, I'm not even a Pearson. I'm actually an Irish descendant.
Oh, yeah, you found that out, didn't you? You were telling me about that,
weren't you? Yeah. What if you thought your name was Soji and you suddenly discovered you're only 3 years old and an android?
Yeah, all right. That's a different story. And that could lead to spoilers for people who haven't watched that series yet. But anyway, moving on. Right, we've got Robert Vence Jr.
Review of the Timeless Children. It was okay. I wasn't gaga about it. I wish the Timeless Child was someone else, not the Doctor. And you know my hat was there. This could have been a PSA for adoption. Just kidding.
PSA.
Public service announcement.
Okay.
Just kidding. There is talk about Yaz being the only companion for the next series. How is that? How true is that? Probably Beeping. Captain Jack will be the only one to break the Doctor out of shots.
Bring Captain Jack back.
I agree. Yeah.
The killing of the lone Cyberman being killed was kind of anticlimactic for me, and the whole Brandon thing was fake. How sad. The Doctor back in the Matrix was cool. At least she wasn't run over by a train or held underwater for a week or coming out of the wet sand and trial of. The Master, a little too Dark Knight Joker for me. They need to dial him down a little if he comes back next series. Less John Sim, more Delgado. Looking forward to Christmas / New Year's special. 4 out of 5.
Right then, Debbie Melrose has some very special blurb from a certain person.
Who do you think you are, or the Master Plating Time Lords? Dear 20 Megabyters, the Timeless Children is, of course, a closely studied entrenchment of the person known as the Doctor as the personification of Eucatastrophe. Coined by J.R.R. Tolkien in the 1940s, or was that the 1930s, Eucatastrophe is defined as a sudden turn of events at the end of a story, which ensures that the protagonist does not meet some terrible, impending, and very plausible and probable doom. So, in essence, the Timeless Child is then grace looked for and sets the Shabogans free from the ultimate doom that is death, as allows their rapid and exceptional progress. However, as we know, they also tie themselves down through arcane rules and limitations as Time Lords, and this is visited upon the Timeless Child in Extremis. Therefore, the other aspect of the Doctor comes to the fore.
Sorry, Magic's trying to be sick. Hang on.
Okay. Freedom, therefore, the other aspect of the Doctor comes to the fore, freedom and self-confidence. Again, fundamental both to the Doctor and what the Doctor inspires. This reinforces the very obvious conclusion that once free to roam, the Doctor will always tend towards being a manifestation of eucatastrophe, a fact that reached zenith in the Day of the Doctor when he was shown to be his own eucatastrophe after abandoning all hope of a happy ending as the War Doctor, but unlooked for his future selves turned up at the last moment to provide that turn of events they had never believed came to pass. The use of the Ruth Doctor in a Dumbledore-like manner provides the Doctor with an opportunity to sort her head out and realise the fundamental truth that nobody, certainly not her, should be limited by their past. The Master is, of course, the antithesis of all this, utterly hidebound by his past, full of the desire to dominate by tyranny, his false self-confidence masking inferiority, has plainly turned its back on hope and welcomes death, especially if it comes with the comfort that he can bring his betters down to his level. It should be noted that while some suggest this story is broken or ruined canon, it is in fact impossible to locate anything here that in any way challenges any form of canon. This is difference between there is difference between breaking canon and the find out of new information that gives you a clearer view of what you saw before a glimpse at a richer, more intricate universe. We also learn that Rassilon was probably a major player in early Time Lord society, but was also a bit of a chancer and a fraud. Whilst this is no surprise, given what happened to Omega and the other flummery and branding associated...
You mean Omega, Deb?
I know, I never say it right. You know that. How many years have we been doing this? Rassilon's pretentious...
Almost 10.
Oh, God. Rassilon's pretentious and clandestine distortion of history were almost certainly even more extensive than we know. All in all, The Timeless Children is a beautifully crafted paradigm change for Doctor Who. By carefully constructing the newly discovered information, Mr. Chibnall has managed to extend the concept of the Doctor in a sympathetic way with the long history we have already experienced. As such, he has undoubtedly left nobody with anything to moan about and has proved himself brilliantly as a showrunner. We should look forward fearlessly to the oncoming years ahead for Doctor Who. Once again, brilliant performances from everybody involved and stunning visuals. I also appreciate old writing exposition and explanation and the relation of history within this TV show, which is so often the subject of erroneous criticism. Finally, the Cyber Lords of Time were both full of Doctor Who amusement and interesting possibilities for the future. This episode is perhaps a full series too short, because who would want to hear endless detail of all this stuff? Next up, Doctor Who and the Dalek Spinning Class, or Return to Sharda, not a spoiler. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
He does say something I totally agree with. The visuals are stunning.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was beautiful to watch, wasn't it? Yeah.
Fantastic. Right then, no, we had stuff coming through on the feed while all that was going on. Where are we? Good Lord, it goes back a long way.
You've got the gorm on your lap.
Lily Robbins says, get on with it. I don't know what she's referring to there. Laurie Nick says, I can't wait for Dawn of the Doctor when everyone turns zombie. Ian Kirk said, not much feedback from me this time. My computer fell on me.
It's the gorm.
I told you that Ian Kirk helped to accidentally, I presume accidentally, generate one of my favourite moments on the show in the history of the show by putting his A-L-E-X-A bit on his feedback, which then generated a very amusing event with my
A-L-E-X-A.
Oh, no. Just, yes, what, yes.
If you want to go out to and see some looping, I asked my A-L-E-X-A about unlaid swallows.
All right, can we get on with the feedback?
Then I played it back to make sure it was going okay, and it responded again, and then I recorded that again, and then I played it back, so it's over on my Facebook.
Yeah, so I think that's one of those things that loses a bit in sort of description.
Yeah, just go and watch it.
Oh, okay. Right then we have, where are we? Where did we get up to? Laurie Nix, are you okay?
You,
I don't know who should... Oh, replying to Ian, are you okay? Well, about the computer falling on him, obviously. Lillian Robbins says, do X Obi-Wan. Lillian Robbins said, is that...
said, Deus Ex Obi-Wan.
Never mind. Lillian Robbins said...
Yeah, look at your toilet roll. Are you
will you let me bloody speak?
Michelle.
Lillian Robbins says... Is that bathroom tissue behind you, Adam? Yes, I've got it on offer for £200. You get a bottle of a hand gel thrown
stop
in with it.
Now.
It hasn't been touched. Brand new. £200, anybody? A bargain. Apparently, according to somebody on YouTube, it actually stops you getting coronavirus. I never knew that a piece of toilet tissue could stop you from getting coronavirus. Amazing! But I'm quite happy to sell it to you for 200 quid, you donuts. Anyway.
Adam, did you see my post? Everyone's buying toilet roll and pasta. I want to know what the recipe is.
What got me the most was saw all these empty shelves in supermarkets for various reasons, and all the vegan drops were completely full. Oh dear! Right then, Laurinx says puppy, referring to Magic sitting on my lap for a bit. And then Lillian Robin says, it's the Garm. Alan T. Butcher said, well, I am shocked that Mary seems to have agreed to only one thing I said.
I actually agree with a lot that you said. It's just that was something that none of us mentioned, so I just wanted to highlight it.
I think I've actually managed to get to the end of feedback. Oh, dear. My dinner's repeating on me. Ooh, I'm trying to do that quietly.
I made a casserole. It was lovely.
Yeah, Faster, you only have 15 minutes left.
I know. I'm quite pleased we've got to this stage. So before we try and fill in the gaps of the rest of the show, I'd just like to point out that next week we're going to be doing our top 10 episode stroke stories. Dear God, I'm going to say episodes. We'll say episodes. I know some of them were two-parters, whatever. We'll do top 10 episodes of the series. Them? Yes, so you state from top to bottom, no. And we'll do it from bottom to top.
You don't have to watch them all again.
No, you have to do it from memory.
What time?
Well, it's not fair to have 10 episodes when easily the first two go together and the last two go together.
No, I think we'll stick with episodes. How many stories are there in this series, if you take to include it?
Well, a total of 8 stories.
No, 9.
9? Well, the first one was a two-parter.
If we include the Christmas episode.
Eh? Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the series.
I mean, the last three were a trilogy, but they were separate titles.
A title does not make a separate story.
All right, whatever. Right, we'll keep the...
This pedantic.
Be quiet. We'll keep the two-parter Christmas special as part of it as well. So there's two-parters, isn't there? So how many episodes does that make it, then? I've lost
Depends
the plot.
On how you count them, and I obviously don't count them properly.
Two-part. Oh, look, let's stick it to the episodes, for goodness sake, because some of the episodes of the two-parters weren't as good as others.
True.
Right, so we'll stick it as episodes.
So what time on the 15th?
Well, as far as I know, it's 7 o'clock. It's not, I mean, well, that depends on the clock.
No, it's not 7 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock for me.
Yeah, well, we
You've done so valiantly.
Yes, thank you, Robert. We record at 7 p.m. GMT on the 15th of March.
Okay.
So it's essentially the same time as we're doing this week.
Green munching time.
All right, anyway, moving
Green
on.
Green munching time.
Doctor Who news. There's a new hero collector range of very cute-looking...
Master, I've got to excuse myself for a minute. My wife and daughter just got home. I'll be back down in just a couple of minutes.
Where are your priorities?
Yeah.
Robert, yeah.
Yeah, he's hardcore as Robert.
Yeah, some lovely little sort of cartoon-style badges of Doctor Who, iconic Doctor Who villains and stuff. Really, really quite cool, actually. Pin badges retail at $5.99 or $34.99 in an A37 badge box set. Woohoo! Really, really cool. Doctor Who Series 12 official soundtrack is coming out on the 3rd of April. Two volumes. So we got, there's also Series 12 creating the music videos have appeared on YouTube. Trip of a Lifetime, Making of Modern Doctor Who is a book that's been brought out by Obverse Books. I've got Doctor Who Magazine 549 featuring Joe Martin is the Doctor on the cover.
The Doctor?
Yes, and Doctor Who, A Dalek Awakens Escape Game. It's a BBC game, apparently, because it's got their logo on it.
Is it a video game, is it?
Looks like it.
I think is it a PC game by the looks of it?
Looks
might
like
be
it,
one
isn't
of those
it?
VR ones, is it? They've been doing a lot
possibly,
of those VR
ones. Ascension of the Cybermen official ratings, 4.99 million. So it did go up quite a lot, actually. So again, 5 million is about right, isn't it, for Doctor Who, I think, this day and age. Anything above that is sort of And it says the appreciation index was 81. So all in all, things aren't that bad this day and age. I think Doctor Who's doing all right.
Who keeps saying they're bad?
The media, basically. But yeah, I think things are right. The series looks great. It's beautifully filmed, beautifully produced. To some extent, quite well written. And they're starting to put in stuff to make us think again, which is quite good. I'm not overly a massive fan of Chris Chibnall, to be fair, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's still pretty good at the moment, Doctor Who, for me. That's the end of Doctor Who news.
It's gotten better this year, I reckon.
Next week we'll find out the official figures of the Timeless Child, or the Timeless Children, I should say, although they haven't actually put the unofficial ratings for it, which is quite interesting. Why is that not on there? Oh, overnight viewing figures of 3.78 million. I wish it was 7.38 million. Yeah, 3.78 million. So that'll go up hopefully to 5 million-ish to be about the right sort of amount for Doctor Who.
Plus, that's only in the UK as well.
Yeah, I don't think they take into consideration international viewership, do they? But there you go. That's great. Doctor Who news. Right then, I suppose we should move on to whoone.co.uk because I'm wondering if they've those whoone.co.uk. Yeah, I think I'm hoping
you had to do it because Kirby's not here just now. Whoone.co.uk.
They have latest products. Doctor Who magazine 549, as previously mentioned, a Torchwood complete box set.
Not a bad price.
$39.99, and the runtime.
Because they've brought it out on iPlayer, haven't they? So yeah.
Yeah, and it contains Series 1, Series 2, Children of Earth,
and
Miracle Day.
Did you get the extras on there?
I don't know, but it says
sometimes it's just the
running time is 2,093 minutes. So lots of
I think
Torchwood
it sounds like
there.
There's some extras in that. Mm. Yeah.
Sarah Jane Adventures complete box set, and that obviously features.
How much is that, Adam? Because I want to get that.
$39.99 contains all five series.
Master.
Oh God.
Oh, he's back.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
Yeah, some good stuff coming out there.
It's not fair. It's only me.
It's a shame that some of the Sarah Jane Adventures is only coming out on DVD. It would be nice
but
to see that on Blu-ray.
It's
the complete box set. Yeah, well done, Robert. Coming soon on whoone.co.uk, Fourth Doctor 9.2 Volume 2, River of Diary Song, that's the other way around, Diary of River Song, Faceless
Diary.
Ones.
I've seen some places, some people put Diary of River Song.
I do need to get the Faceless Ones.
The A and
the new TARDIS, that could.
Fortitude, a Torchwood story, Gallifrey Time War 3, and we've got a little mini Bradley Walsh for $12.99, and the Jadoon Captain also for $12.99. Figures amongst with Blake 7 and for Psychic Circus and stuff like that. All coming out soon on whoone.co.uk. I'm just going to go to the Lavazzi page. I still haven't sent these people invoices for sponsorship.
Why don't you?
Because I keep forgetting. I've got other things to do at the moment, Kirby. I'm quite busy.
A reminder.
I'm quite busy. I've got a convention to organise. Doctor Who merchandise, what have we got here? Scarves. That's funny, isn't it? To find our scarves amongst the Doctor Who merchandise available at lavazzi.co.uk.
The best scarves there are.
They are the best scarves. I've got lots and lots of positive reviews. And if you look somewhere actually online, you'll see some reviews for FantasyCon, which implies to me that you should really buy tickets for it. That's it. Lavazzi, do stuff that's really good for Doctor Who fans and Sherlock fans and Star Trek fans. And stuff. So that's our sponsors covered with a good 9 minutes left. I'm really pleased with myself.
You and I have a little thing that we're going to be doing this coming Tuesday.
A little thing?
That's if I can remember to do it, Kirby. I might
a little
forget.
Thing? Why are you we might, not in on this?
You might have to bump me over a message to remind me. I'm bound to forget.
There's a podcast. It's already called the TLTT Podcast Meeting of Minds. What is TLTT? Time Lord?
Sound like TOTP, Top of the Pops.
Christian,
it's a collection of Doctor Who podcasters, and we are going to be recording a podcast about how we got into the fandom.
I'm jealous.
The Legend of the Travelling TARDIS. Is that what you're...
Right, Legend of the Travelling TARDIS,
Who radio show. A Doctor Who radio show, sorry. That's
It'll be at 3 a.m. in the morning your time.
Well, maybe for him.
Actually, it's recording at 4-5 something my
four,
time.
Five.
I was only joking, Kirby.
and to Adam, it's like 10:45.
Something like that. No, 9:45.
That's 9:45.
I'm sorry.
That's pretty jammy, that is.
Yeah.
9:45 in the evening, Adam.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure everybody's going to be absolutely thrilled to
you know what? This is more and more arguments for me getting my podcast shed done.
Your podcast shed?
How's it coming along?
Well, I managed to clear a bit out of it the other day, but more's gone in.
Right, so next week we're doing
I'm sure if you got in contact with him, you could join us.
No, I was only being Darcy. Don't be silly.
What have we got going on here? I was thinking,
Ian just Kirk's a demon who joins you all for giggles more than anything.
Auntie Butcher said, beware the Ides of March. Ian Kirk said, I'm all right now, thanks. Alan T. Butcher said, this episode is sponsored by Cushelle Toilet Rolls. Yeah. 200 quid, ladies and gentlemen, and you get a 100 milliliter. You get a 100 milliliter bottle of Milton hand gel, which is probably the best hand gel you can get.
Your protection against coronavirus.
It's got alcohol in it that kills the viruses on your hands. But even if you really do believe that the toilet roll will actually save you from the corona, what do they think though? They're going to wrap it around their face. That must probably be what it is, isn't it? That must be what they're thinking. If I got toilet roll, I can go out with toilet roll wrapped around my face to prevent me from getting the coronavirus.
But have you noticed yet, the hand has gone, but nobody's taking actual bars of soap?
Yet, the common flu will kill more people in the world each year, and nobody bothers to be clean about that, do they? No.
But because me bad last year.
Because the media have hyped up the coronavirus, which I'm not saying is not a bad virus, and we don't want to catch it, and especially we don't want our relatives with underlying sort of health issues to catch it, you know, whatever. But
I don't like the fact I'm in the at-risk category as much as I am with the flu category. That just happens, you know. So everyone's like, oh, how are you going to cope if you get corona? It's like, I don't know, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. I'll just carry on going.
It's quite selfish because all these people that are buying these items that aren't going to help them not contract the thing, right? They're not at risk. They're all quite young and healthy.
That it causes diarrhea.
Yeah. Does it?
Yeah, it might.
But all these people, you see, on the
all this panic buying, there's nobody has
friends. There's a video from Australia, isn't there, that comes out where they all go mad buying this. Right, all the people buying it are not at risk from catching this particular virus. They'll get through it. They're fine. So they're being so selfish and not allowing even the people that are at risk. This won't help them. It's toilet roll, for goodness' sake.
It's like ticket scalpers as well. Yeah. You know, they're want to sell them for thousands of dollars online.
A bloke came in this morning.
They can't get on with their work as much as they want to because they can't get hold of any face masks to do their job. You know,
I've got one upstairs.
About people on chemotherapy? They need hand gel and things like that.
Well, I got a face mask upstairs in my sock drawer, which I kept back from when Isabella was born.
That sounds a bit rude.
Why? It's the medical mask that I kept back when I was in theatre when Isabella was born. Thank you, Deborah Melrose.
Isn't the black leather one, Adam?
Oh, I'm in trouble. I got Deborah. Whoops.
anything else coming through now? Yeah, so it's just a bit selfish now. It's like a bloke came in today and bought 7 bottles of Carex hand soap.
Can't you restrict them?
Well, certain items are restricted, but ironically, the items that are restricted are the those little wet wipes you get that just got lemon in them. They're not antibacterial, but they're restricted. I don't know. Hand gel's restricted, but we haven't got any.
Because of the response to this, surely businesses should have just gone, actually, this is going mental. Let's just restrict it to one pack.
They do it over here.
Yeah, you know, well, I think to a certain extent it is, but hand gel's restricted, but we can't get any.
We wouldn't be having this. The doctor will be out there somewhere beating this virus for us.
The doctor. Anyway, it's just silly, isn't it? We don't want to catch a cold, let alone coronavirus and flu and stuff like that. I think, obviously, the thing with flu is you can get a jab over it and you can't get a jab for a corona as yet.
I want this over with because I want Mary here in December, and I'd also like to go on holiday.
I think that was supposed to be a secret, Debbie. Was that supposed to be a secret, Mary?
Yeah, I don't want to come over there and get sick.
You don't, you didn't want the whole. You don't want to be inundated by 20 megabyte fans following around the south of England, do you? Either.
Yeah, sorry, Mary. Was that meant to be incognito?
Yes,
sorry.
It was. Never mind. Everybody knows now. Mary's going to be here in December. Anyway, so... Oh, God.
I didn't say when, though.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, but I love your post of the toilet paper man.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Toilet paper man.
Lauren X said, what else in your sock drawer? Inquiring minds want to know. Socks! It's a sock drawer! For goodness sake, in fact, I don't even use them. I use blooming compression stockings, so my socks are always completely... I might as well chuck them away. I don't use socks.
Otherwise known as fishnets.
No, that's stockings. What, are you talking about my compression stockings?
No, we're talking about your stockings.
They're like that now because I put a hole in one of them this morning. Anyway, this has got nothing to do with a Doctor Who podcast. Right, next week we're going to be doing our top 10 episodes of the series, which is essentially a review of the whole series as a whole, and we'll have the return of. You won't get this one in Trivial Pursuit form. So that's what to look forward to next week. Anyway, thank you everybody for coming on this.
Again the next week, right?
Omega.
It's the Ark of Infinity Omega. The week after. Omega. Anyway, thanks for everybody for taking part, listening, and please bring in that sort of feedback next week. Thank you for listening to the show. Goodbye!
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Goodbye from Midwest.
Yeah!
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.